Finally, we approached New San Francisco. Tires screeched across the runway. Air pressure in the cabin shifted to sea level. Presently, a voice came over into the intercom announcing our impending arrival. I gazed at the surface of my leaf, pretending to read a newspaper article. Shrewdly, I had opted not to activate the pay device. At the tone, all passengers will unbuckle their seatbelts and disembark in an orderly fashion. There was an almost deafening racket of clacks and clatters. Once again, thank you for flying Federal Airlines. Like we had a choice, came a muffled retort from several rows back. A number of heads from various sections of the plane snapped around to face the speaker, all of them in perfect synchronization. I ascertained which of my fellow passengers were air marshals. I returned my leaf to the seat back in front of me, then reached up into the compartment above my head to withdraw my bags. Nothing seemed to be missing. Exiting the plane, I was forced to elbow a few tourists out of my way. Nothing too unusual, a young pioneer scout had nearly caused me to trip and fall. Children were everywhere in coach, clogging up the aisles with their sluggish movements. This would not have been a problem if I had taken a seat in the first class where children are generally forbidden, but such an expenditure would have raised flags with the wrong people, and on this flight I was concerned with keeping things, as far as those wrong people were concerned anyway, quiet. Friendly shoving had become commonplace during the average disembark, and so my excess physicality went unnoticed. On the way into the terminal, I passed through a metal detector. My side arm triggered a shrill cacophony, followed by an array of hastily drawn weapons. I flashed my TSA card discreetly at waist level and got through the checkpoint without much hassle. As you know, with my credentials, I am authorized to carry a concealed firearm. I can activate its login process mid-flight or even pull it out and wave it around if so I desire. In this way, it would have been trivial for me to clear a path through the crowd by sending everyone diving to the floor. I don't need to tell you that I restrained myself. Even with no network weaponry such as my own, flashing a gun would have attracted attention from the mesh. I wandered into a nearby pay zone and called for another cab. My long-range implant was by now producing only blips and bleeps. For some reason, disabled. My experience with the last cab driver in New York had put me on edge. I recall now that when I climbed into his vehicle, he had shifted his eyes instantly to my left earlobe, pausing for a bit longer than I would have liked. He was careful also to look me up and down several times, tracing all the obvious marker points. I noticed even though he had been quite subtle about it. To my mind, this was uncommon and suspicious behavior for a New York cab driver. I found myself considering the implications. Something might be going on with the cab unions here in the States. Warily, I loaded my coat and stuffed it into the cargo pocket of my trousers. When my taxi finally arrived, I slid into the back seat and gave the driver once over of my own. Ditto. The same type as in New York. An immigrant. Although this fellow, rather than expose his bushy eyebrows and lice-infested hair to the world, sported a grey taxi cap with a dark translucent visor. He was chomping a duty-free cigar, unlit, and taking sips from a can of Stroh's Light. From the looks of him, a Russian-educated packy. Before shifting the car into gear, the cabbie pivoted around into his torn seat. With no small effort, he stuck out his free hand, then moved his eyes back to me. Sensing the inherent purpose of the gesture, I pushed the 50 towards him, extending just far enough to catch in the tips of his fat fingers, then settled the rest of the way back into my seat. The driver remained motionless, silent. His seat creaked under the weight of his body. "Take me to the embassy," I growled as harshly as I could muster. and put some stank on it. I have an appointment to keep. With a squeal of tires and a strangled burst of exhaust smoke, we are off. After a short interval, we careened to a stop in front of the embassy. I evacuated the back seat and leaned to the taxi's front window, glaring at the driver, adopting an aggressive posture. In response, the packie clenched my collar into his fist and pulled me in even closer. It seemed he wanted a few words. About time. A meter says 550, student fart. He spit out his cigar, which came to rest lightly on the floor. My cue. I rammed the barrel of my coat into his throat. He recoiled against the seat with a muffled thud, spilling beer all over his lap. I then gripped him by the hair and smashed his head into the dashboard, smirking bemusedly because his forehead had just taken out the meter and because his pants were now soaking wet as if he'd burst his bladder. He fumbled groggily in his seat and steered his cab the hell out of there. I wouldn't have believed it, but the cabbie trade had actually grown more belligerent in my absence. As a corollary, I just saved the government $500. You have to stay sharp on the basics. I stomped the stairs of the embassy and kicked open the door, which hadn't been latched to begin with. Gradually, I got myself into character. The place was fossilized as ever. All the antiques, artifacts, and art politicos were still glued into place, practically inert. The room was artificially quiet, which also conformed to my mental inventory from previous visits. Alright then, noise cancellers were still being employed. What was new here was that the place had been apparently outfitted as a nano-blank zone. I wonder why. Good thing I had thought to pack my coat and not bother with the network weaponry. Without warning, a butler sidled up to me, whispering that he wanted to take my coat. I kicked him out of the way. He tumbled into a chair, looking dumb. I decided to ham it up in my new role and barked at him that I hated being touched by the help. He muttered something, and I made a show of ignoring him as I pushed on into the long corridor.